Minicamp is over. Dustin Hopkins ended things early, and the Washington football team is now on summer vacation. Next stop, Richmond for training camp. It's going to be fun, but there is plenty to go over from minicamp and look ahead. We're going to do all of that now, plus an exclusive, dare I say, I think I'm actually using that right, interview with Antonio Gibson.
On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field, too, when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care.
What up, everybody? It's JP Finley. It's the Washington Football Talk podcast brought to you by Oarsman Automotive of Virginia. We ride with them, want you to do the exact same thing. You can check them out online, oarsmanva.com. Hard to find cars right now. Not with Oarsman. They'll take care of you. They got new cars, used cars, they'll lease you a car, whatever you need. Check them out. Six locations all over Northern Virginia. Big location change today. We're going to get into that. We got a lot to discuss later. Let's welcome in the boys, Mitch Tischler, Pete Haley. Gentlemen, how we doing?
Doing well. Just like we do at the end of training camp, we're going to do this at the end of mini camp and might have a beverage or two.
It's a little aggressive for mini camp.
More an aggressive podcast.
Yeah. Right. Is there such thing as too aggressive?
What the hell? No, that's fine by me.
And they're truly, so it's kind of like, you know, kind of a beer, but kind of not.
Listen, good by me.
Yeah.
Fire away.
Free feet, and we'll have a drink or two.
It's funny, dude. I've gone the opposite way on my feet lately. I don't think it'll hold when we get to Richmond, but I now wear shoes and socks almost every day.
Why? You feel like they smell or something? Are you self-conscious?
They smell. Yeah, I'm not self-conscious about it. I've just grown more comfortable this way all of a sudden. A lot things get weird when you're about to turn 40.
Yeah, you mature and everything's upside down all of a sudden. Yeah.
That's a strange move, though.
But I don't know, man. A lot of it is that radio station is just so dirty that I don't want to wear bare feet around there. But Landfill walks around bare feet, which just makes it grosser. So I'm going shoes and socks for right now. I need more socks. Whatever. This is a dumb rabbit hole. Let's get down to business. 3 days of mini camp. What was your biggest impression, Peter?
Biggest impression was that Taylor Heinicke, the playoff hero, may not be a one-hit wonder like I thought he was, and I'm not going to necessarily open this up all the way, but I'll just say this. The total command of the offense, he absolutely has it. It makes sense. He's been in the system for a long, long time. You still see the athleticism. He's great when things kind of break down. When a high snap happens, he's able to corral it and keep a screen on schedule. He's able to roll out. He has a lot of accuracy on his ball. So Taylor Heinicke, I don't think he's the starter. I think Fitzpatrick's still the starter as of now, but the guy can play. And it wasn't just because Tampa had no idea who he was or that he was coming. I think he's just a damn good quarterback. It's going to come down to health later on in the offseason. But for now, I was impressed by old number four.
I was impressed with the secondary. I think that the secondary looked like a bunch of ball hawks out there. Now, part of that is quarterback play and getting in tune with the wide receivers from a couple of new guys that are back there. But to me, the bigger point was there were a bunch of batted balls or tip passes, and during the season, during games, you see those balls fall to the ground all the time. Here, they got picked off almost every time. You saw BSJ get his hand on a couple balls yesterday. Today, Bobby McCain had two picks, and at least one of them was on a tip ball. I love the way the secondary was flying after the football and having fun, obviously, as we know they do after they get those picks.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I like both of those. I just think it's team speed and at this stage of the game, that's what you can notice. And without pads on, you don't want to draw too many conclusions from other things. I'm going to kind of get to what you're talking about with the secondary a little bit in my one thing later. But the speed is noticeable. Like, I remember Gruden way back saying he wanted to see more speed on the field. And I feel like it's just starting to happen. Look at the receiver position. This time last year, they broke camp with 4 of 6 players undrafted at a skill position group. Like, that's just so bad. Mm-hmm. And now you've started to amass some talent there, and it starts to become obvious, and you see those changes happening. You spend money at corner. You draft a corner. You spent money 2 years in a row at corner. I think you start to see those things change. I also think, and it's easy to for a team to feel like they like each other and there's real optimism in minicamp. Like, it's June. It's June 10th. We're 94 days from a real football game. But there does seem to be some real cohesion. And I think that has value, too. And when you see Ron give him a week off of OTAs, move everything up, I think this team, I talked to a bunch of players kind of off the record through various means, I suppose. And as much as Ron has kind of this hard-ass public figure, like the military dude, all that, all the players consider him a player's coach and that he takes care of them and all these sorts of things. So I think there's a real friendly vibe building, and I think it could be good for him. I think you think they're going to win the division again, Mitch.
Yeah.
It's reasonable to think that. Defensively, I think they're going to be good. I think there's some questions on offense, but June 10th, and it's reasonable to think that.
I just wanted to dive in a little bit on the Ron being a player's coach, because I think we touched on it maybe a couple days ago or maybe during one of the OTA pods. Just when you look at Jay Gruden, who was a player's coach as well, and Ron being a player's coach, there's a difference between being their buddy and taking care of them and being looked at as the leader. And I think that Jay was a guy that they all wanted to grab beers with. And I think Ron is somebody they respect, and they understand that he's a guy who will take care of them when necessary. He'll take off the pads at the end of the season like he did last year. He'll take off a week of OTAs because all the dudes showed up. I think there are different types of players coaches, and I think that looking at what Ron's doing right now is building that trust and that respect as a players coach, but as a leader of men as well.
Yeah, I think with Ron, when the whistle, like in between whistles, when you're kind of talking to him on the sidelines or when he's going through warm-up, staffing people up, they feel like they can hang out with him and you know, talk to him about non-football things. But then when it's football time, they know, all right, this guy's going to be on me. With Jay, it just kind of seemed like, yeah, if I make a mistake, I can just kind of lollygag around and I won't have as many penalties or backlash. But I think with this staff, it's very serious during practice time, then maybe a lot more professional off the field, but still kind of a good environment to work in.
And I think just as a segue to the quarterback conversation, because Pete brought up part of it, I kind of lobbed a random grenade through Twitter at JP about having Ashburn syndrome hypochondria, because I think you're getting quick to calling out Ashburn syndrome. I think there are plenty of people that have overly high.
So you were listening to the radio
yeah.
during that? That was specific to Ryan Fitzpatrick, and yes. I wanted to address this with young Peter.
Sure. Because the radio, I agree that Pete might be a little bit on the other side of it.
Well, he's already contradicting himself, but that's fine. Please finish your point.
The caller on your radio program, I believe, rated Fitzpatrick.
We'll ask the question here. How much trust do you have in Fitzpatrick to be a 17-game starter, assuming health, and deliver the Washington football team to the expectations we all have, which aren't Super Bowl, but I think winning a playoff game is a reasonable expectation? What's your level of trust? Scale of 1 to 10.
Higher than any quarterback that has put on the burgundy and gold since I started covering the team.
What's that? The prettiest girl in a braces contest.
Sure.
Give it a real answer.
Sure, but okay, just I'll give it a real number. But the point being that I understand
it's been a collection of shit. So let's not measure piles.
But that's why I understand the optimism from some folks, maybe not as high as Pete when we start throwing Pro Bowl out there or whatever. What level, from 1 to 10, I'm at a 7 out of 10.
Which is exactly where I'm at. Okay. So, I said 7.5 seems reasonable, but there are people that are much higher than that. And Pete was 30 touchdowns Pro Bowl 2 days ago, and today he's acknowledging that Taylor Heinicke outplayed Ryan Fitzpatrick during 3 days of minicamp. And it's June football, and it could be completely meaningless, but it still occurred.
Yeah, I think my faith in Fitzpatrick is probably still the same, but my faith in Heinicke is increasing because Fitzpatrick is new to this system, and Ron can say he's 38 and he's been all around the block and knows everything, but it still takes some time to get used to these receivers. Heinicke impressed me and is up on my stock. Fitzpatrick, it's not like I now trust him less. I just think it's going to take a little more time. But still, Miami Fitzpatrick, with this group of skill players and this defense, I think he can throw 30 touchdowns in 17 games. And I don't think I necessarily said Pro Bowl, but I think he's going to be really good.
Please, I don't want to.
Pete, I love you, buddy.
Okay,
you,
I'm not scared.
So you will come out with scorching takes when we're on the
sideline.
Yeah,
I don't want that to be my reputation
And then you
anymore.
Walk them back so far.
I don't want to be that guy, Ryan Fitzpatrick. I said 32 touchdowns in a Pro Bowl, and I still think that, even though he had a couple dicey days in June.
It's June. Like, it could mean absolutely nothing.
Yeah, you know what? I'm not backing down.
It's also, get all the dicey days out of the system.
Yeah.
Well, I think there's two things. Heinicke, let's preface this entire conversation. There is no competition. Look at the money. Ryan Fitzpatrick's making 10 mil. Heinicke's making one. That's a 10-to-1 ratio.
The money's important, but also listening to Ron in the press conferences, he says it without saying it.
Right.
In that
it's great. Taylor can push Ryan.
Right. Yeah. But Fitz is getting the number one reps.
Yeah, Taylor did not get one number one rep this entire week.
Totally. And Fitz is their guy. He will have to lose the job. No one's going to take the job. But it's his job. All that said, I do think the first scene in The Matrix where Keanu Reeves sits down and becomes Neo and sees the whole world coming at him as code, as ones and zeros. Like, all of a sudden, he sees what the world actually is. That is Taylor Heinicke in Scott Turner's offense. Like, he sees everything as it's developing. And Ryan Fitzpatrick's wicked smart, to borrow a Boston phrase. Like, I think he'll get there.
Is that because he went to Harvard?
Yeah. But I think, like, Heinicke is ahead of him. I think Heinicke is ahead of everyone that will ever play in Scott Turner's offense. I really do. I think he understands it on an intrinsic level. But the kid also got hurt in walkthroughs.
Yeah.
He got hurt when he played last year. Huh. He got hurt the last time he played. Mitch has a conspiracy theory. You can go ahead and explain it. I don't care. He got hurt. He got stitches and chipped his tooth.
It's wild how injury prone he is. But he did put on the 15 pounds, which is what the coaches asked him to do.
Ron kind of dismissed that when you asked him about
it. It's quite funny.
He's got weights in his pockets.
Yeah. The thing with, like, to me, I'm looking at Heinicke Fitzpatrick, like, you know, they're both on the green. And I feel like Heineke's going to force Fitzpatrick to make his putt. Like, you're playing in a match. You kind of sit there. If Heinicke misses this, then I win right away. Heinicke's going to make his putt, and Fitzpatrick's going to have to finish that hole right then and there. And I still have faith in him doing that. But Heinicke's going to make him earn every single inch he gets.
It's like Pete on the green where Ron says, Fitz, your putt is good. And Pete's like, no. Let him putt it out.
Yeah.
Just to see if maybe Heinicke pushes him. But don't think that's happening.
It could.
I don't think it's happening at all, but the level of excitement for Fitz, I think we had Ike Reese on the radio who played in Philly for a long time. And he said, he's like, man, I think Fitz can be good, but you got to have reasonable expectations. All I'm trying to do is prevent a wild outbreak of Ashburn syndrome over the next 6 weeks and remind people to try to maintain reasonable expectations.
I totally agree with you. And we went back and forth specifically about Alex in 2016 when they started off 6-2 and about the quarterback, the level of play you got out of them. And it was that was a team with a defense that was decent slash maybe improving along the way. And you needed a quarterback who was going to manage the system, was able to manage them to wins. I believe that despite the back half of the season last year being against some paltry quarterbacks, that the defense is going to be quite good. A top 10 defense, at I think, is totally reasonable. And it's time to push the gas on the offense. And this quarterback that they have in Ryan Fitzpatrick is, and or Taylor Heinicke, whoever it is, whoever the starting quarterback is the type of guy who's going to push the gas like hasn't been pushed in D.C. since RG3's rookie season. But that was a different look based on the way that offense was run. And I think for fans who are looking at who are looking at Ryan Fitzpatrick, and then whatever competition there may be with Taylor Heinicke, it's okay to be excited about thinking about quarterbacks that are going to throw the ball downfield a little bit more, who are going to pass the ball around a little bit, who aren't going to dink and dunk quite as much as we've seen this offense do, basically for two decades.
Yeah. Yeah, with Fitzpatrick, I mean, there's a fair share of interceptions, but I think there was some, I mean, it's easy for him to say, yeah, I was throwing in a certain spot, and then, you know, that's a blanket statement that can explain away some bad throws, but I do think he was trying to jam some stuff in goal line work. And, you know, what's the point of taking a sack in June? You might as well throw and just see what happens and get a feel for things. So I'm a tiny bit shaken from what I saw, but with the idea that, relax, August, September is when things really do matter, especially for a guy who just got here.
I don't think you should be shaken. I want to be clear on that.
Yeah.
I think you may have been too high, and maybe it's a little bit – but I don't think we should be drawing any conclusions from 3 days in June.
With no pads,
which is, so the kind of the headline coming out, if you don't want to get caught up in the Heinicke Fitzpatrick stuff, is how dominant the defense was. Mm-hmm. They looked really good. I kind of want to just skip to my one thing, because Ron even mentioned this. Like, the offensive line in these drills is legitimately not trying. Now, offensive linemen chop you all the time. There's none of that. Nobody wants to get rolled up. They don't want any piles. There is literally nothing happening from the offensive line. If you remember, Ron said this last year, we got to teach these guys to stop blowing everything up. Because they didn't have that in Carolina. He wants the defensive line to pull back. Now, you're not going to do that in minicamp, but when they get to training camp, especially during the no contact days, I think this defense could be very good. I don't know that 3 days in June with zero contact and the D-line able to just blow everything up is indicative of how good the defense can be or how poor the offense can look. I do think the defense could be really good, and I think that D-line is going to be a force. So Ron and the coaching staff don't want to dial them back so much, but I almost want to pull up the exact quote he had, and I'll let you guys go, but I think it's important we remind ourselves about that. Now, secondary playing tight coverage, all of those sorts of things, I think are real. Like, I think this defense is going to be very good, but the dominance we saw in the trenches, so to speak, is not an accurate portrayal of what things could become.
Yeah, I think there's some more splash plays from the offense. Like, them sustaining drives, it was tough. There's a lot of tip passes, like Mitch said. There are some plays where Montez Sweat just, you know, eviscerated guys who, again, couldn't really do much about it, and certain drives just got halted. But then on Thursday, we saw a deep shot to De'Ami Brown. We saw Terry McLaurin get loose. We saw Steven Sims and Cam Sims. So those types of explosive plays that can make up for, a drive that needs to be 10 plays. Like, last year, a drive had to be 12 plays. They had to convert on every third down. They had to get a false start or a good penalty here to help them. This year, they could maybe take a sack or take a negative play and then still make it up. So while the offense may not have been humming as smoothly against this very stout defense, I do think it was encouraging to see them at least knife through them at times for some big gainers that can cure a lot of woes.
Well, and I'd add to that,
also taking some shots.
Yeah.
Took a bunch of shots downfield.
And you've got QBs that are going to do that for sure. Heinicke looked good going downfield, dude.
It was just fun. Every time Heinicke did something, JP just looked over and held up four fingers and was like, hey, he's a gamer. That's Neo.
If you recall, whenever we had our early, maybe when they re-signed him, I said, I was like, maybe we did 100 chips at a 25 scale. It's hard to keep up with what we did. But I was higher, and I maintain, I don't think Heinicke's role in this world is long-term backup. I think he either plays and is good, or this whole thing flames out. The injury prone, the size, all of that stuff is too real.
Both those can be true. I think we think that if he plays, he'll probably play well. It's just a question of, is it going to be for a quarter before
But my point was, if the three highways for Taylor Heinicke's career were career backup, plays and stars, or flames out, I'm putting way less on career backup than most.
He's here for a good time, not a long time, maybe.
I don't know, but I think he's going to get on the field. I don't know if he gets on the field now. I don't know what happens. Here's the quote I wanted to read. This is from Ron, asked about how dominant the defense was during minicamp. I think the thing that we have to understand about it is there are certain elements of offensive football that you can't do out here. You're not cut blocking. When a guy takes an inside charge, you're not washing him down to the next guy because you got to be careful out there. The balance is knowing how to practice in those situations and circumstances because, again, you got a defensive guy making an inside charge and the offensive player can't lock onto him and wash him down. Guys are going to come through and make a play. So that was – I just wanted to make that point. I think it's important, and sometimes that stuff gets lost in, rightfully so, excitement around big plays and tip passes and all sorts of other stuff.
But I think it's also important that as we've had this whole – Heinicke Fitzpatrick conversation again today, Ron brought up what he said at the end of last season about the competition and how he didn't like the fact that they ended up just handing the starting job to Dwayne last year. And so maybe this is a rule of Taylor, watch what they do, not what they say, because he's certainly saying that he wants this competition. In these 3 days in June, it didn't play out like that on the field, because Fitz was getting all of those first team reps. And as a new quarterback who's trying to create, you know, cohesion along the offense and you know, connection with the receivers, maybe those reps are more important for Fitz to be taking in June. But certainly it's something to keep an eye out for, because he can say that he wants a competition all he wants, but if it doesn't manifest itself on the field, then it's just empty words.
Completely correct.
All right. Do you want to talk Montez and this vaccine stuff?
I think we should probably touch on it. I don't know if we need to go too deep, but it certainly was the news of the day on Wednesday, on Wednesday.
I've been vaccinated. We all three have, right? Shout out Andrew Seltzer. I think people should, but I absolutely respect their right to make their own decisions. I think his comments, at best, were illogical and probably dumb. To say I don't have it, so why would I get treated for it? Like this, I can't imagine that's what he actually thinks or thought. I think he just kind of scrambled when he was trying to explain that he doesn't want to get it. This is going to be an issue. This is an issue all across the country. It's going to be an issue in the NFL. It's an issue in the NBA. Like,
there's going to be an NFL mandate that when teams get to X percentage, whether it's 80 or 85% vaccinated, then teams can have in-person meetings without masks on, indoor meetings without masks on, and whatever other protocols change based on the percentage of people. And they need to get it's going to be important for teams to get to that number, because it's going to make a difference in the way that they prepare for football games. I think if Montez would have been able to explain his point a little more eloquently, I don't know if it would have been as big of a deal as it was, because he's allowed to have his own opinion. He's allowed to voice it how he'd like. But I think saying that you don't have enough facts after having a Harvard-educated epidemiologist come in and explain what they know about it from that point seems illogical, I think, is a nice way of putting it. And he may, you know, we know during the draft, part of the reason that he dropped was he had the thinning of the heart, and certainly if that's on his mind and that's a portion of it, because we've heard about different heart-related issues with all of this. None of us are doctors, I'm going to preface with that, which as you all know. But if that's part of his thinking, that's certainly reasonable to have that concern. And maybe if he had been able to explain his point a little bit better, then it wouldn't have blown up into the storm that it became. But I just think because he kind of mixed his words a little bit and didn't kind of explain himself very well, it didn't make sense. But as far as the full team goes, it's going to be important to get to that, whatever that percentage is that the NFL dictates, it's going to be important for the team to get there, because it's going to literally affect week to week how they're able to prepare and how they're able to meet in terms of getting ready for the next week's opponent.
Yeah, I thought Ron handled it well when we followed up with him. He said, you know, Montez is allowed to have his own opinion. I'm going to still try to convince him to get the vaccine, but at a certain point, he's a grown-up, and he has to live with whatever decision he makes and consequences that come from that. But yeah, the whole scene was pretty odd, and it might just be because Montez isn't the most comfortable in a press conference setting. He's never been the most eloquent or the guy who talks the most, and he just didn't necessarily seem like he wanted to be there. And then he got asked about the vaccine, which is a very personal thing, and that might have set him off a bit. So I'm with JP. I think he should get it, but if he doesn't want to, that's his right as a citizen, I suppose. And if it affects
America,
the team,
man, people are allowed to make individual decisions. Tom Mayer, NFLPA medical director, said he's spoken to over two. This is from Tom Pelissero on Twitter. Tom Mayer said he's spoken to over 200 players, and he emphasized that these are grown ass men making grown ass decisions. So, I mean, this thing is unfolding across the country. It's not what I would recommend, but it's what's happening.
To that point, friend of the pod, Kimberly Martin, quote tweeted, I believe JP's tweet about the whoever's tweet it was about the COVID thing, about the vaccination thing, and just said this is a prevailing thought across the league. It's not just
right. In Sam Ashburn. Darnold, it's going to be
hundreds. Yeah, Sam Darnold talked about. Right. I mean, it's a thing that young men are going to have to come to.
It's a prevalent thing across the country.
Sure,
like it's.
But in our world of football,
yeah,
it matters, because there's going to be a percentage of folks that have to have it on a team to be able to meet in person.
Yeah, and I mean,
I would guarantee every coach across the league wants to be able to meet in person, without masks, in a meeting room, at their facility, as opposed to dumb Zoom, which we all know our fearless leader, JP, loves.
Yeah, I mean, Dax Milne came on a couple people after Montez and said, I haven't gotten it yet, but that informational meeting made me feel better about it, and I'm going to now make a point of getting it. So certain people are affected different ways when people bring information to them, and I guess for Montez it wasn't enough, and that's Montez's choice.
But, man, I think once you get – I don't mean peer pressure in a negative way, but when all of his peers, guys on the team, start getting shots, I think that – and then he has to still get tested every day and everybody else isn't, I think that's when you might see kind of things change.
Sure.
I hope everybody gets their shots and it's just safe.
Regular world we live in.
Right. I asked Antonio Gibson about that, which is kind of interesting, too. You'll hear that in a few minutes. One more time, I want to thank Oarsman Automotive of Virginia. We ride with them. Want you to do the same thing. OarsmanVA.com is the website.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chantilly Toyota. Let's ride together.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.
I wanted to let you talk about Benjamin St. Juice a little bit, Peter.
Yeah. Wednesday, June 9th was BSJ Day. He was a true force on the secondary. He had one kind of jump ball with Terry McLaurin, and Terry were used to seeing him come down with those, and BSJ just never gave up. Terry had it for a second. He was bobbling it, but 25 was able to wrestle it away from him. He then had one where he broke on a sideline route.
Just to interrupt you real quick.
Oh,
he broke
yeah.
up that Terry McLaurin play and then stood over him and almost did the step over like yeah. you see in the NBA sometimes. I mean, it was
hype.
Yeah, it was a big time play from the rookie.
And we've only talked to him a few times, but he comes across as very calm and quiet. So seeing him kind of have an awesome outburst like that was really cool. And he had a what should have been a pick six, but a really nice break on the ball on the sidelines. He had a few more pass breakups. So he was probably the player who opened my eyes the most just over the course of the 3 days, and it's really because of just that one day. And it was, I mean, dominant in June is dominant in June, but it was dominant, and it makes me feel pretty good. If they can get him on the field with William Jackson, have those guys be the long outside corners and then kick Kendall Fuller inside, all of a sudden Jack Del Rio might be quite pleased with the secondary. So they got two really good third-rounders, it appears like, with De'Ami Brown at receiver and Benjamin St. Juice at corner.
The last play of practice was a fade into the corner of the end zone that was
yeah.
thrown a little bit short, and BSJ broke it up with his right foot.
Yeah.
And Pete pointed out that he had now broken up passes with three of his four appendages.
Yeah, he was all over the place.
Question for the room.
Yeah?
Do men have five appendages?
I think maybe they have four limbs and five appendages.
The extremity,
yeah.
How about that? Three of his four extremities.
Again, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a scientist. I just want to be.
I'm going to look up what appendage.
Anatomically correct. All right. Keeping things
a thing
moving
that there. Is added or attached to something larger or more important. So I would say the fifth one's definitely added to a larger thing, and it's important.
Definitely important.
Yeah.
It's certainly important.
Really good question there, JP.
I want to let you guys go for.
Because you have to catch your
hard time taking myself seriously right now. Did you guys want to do a one thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, Mitch, go ahead, sir.
I do appreciate that we went from COVID vaccines to appendages within If that doesn't epitomize this podcast, I don't know what does.
It's pretty solid.
My one thing was the camaraderie, I would say, on the field. The team feels super tight to me, like together. There were times that you saw in the red zone they would run a play, or even it was they were running the wide receiver routes, and Terry didn't quite run the route exactly how Fitzpatrick wanted, and they missed the pass. And when they came off to the sideline, you saw the two of them pointing, and Fitzpatrick was going through the footwork. He was literally walking the route and planting his right foot and kind of pointing out to Terry exactly what he's looking for. There were times that you saw Sam Cosmi and Brandon Sheriff on the sideline sitting there talking, pointing out. You know, you could see them talking about hand placement and things along those lines. But the biggest play to me was Antonio Gandy-Golden had probably the play of minicamp.
Play of his career, for sure.
Incredible one-handed catch down the sideline and kind of fell pretty hard, got up, and, you know, was pretty excited about the play. But the offense exploded, and Terry McLaurin went running down the sideline with a couple other offensive players, just like we've seen the defense do 100 times. They get the pick. The entire defense, Chase Young, Montez Sweat, whether they're on the field or not, take off. The entire defense celebrates with the dude that got the pick. Terry kind of did that on offense, and then they're kind of chirping back and forth. There was a couple more plays in practice. It ended. Chase Young immediately came over, dapped up Scott Turner, almost like good game dude, and then was going through and talking to different offensive guys. I just think you're seeing kind of Chase's leadership, but the tightness of the team really seems to be shining through in ways that I don't know that I've really seen as much in years past. So that was kind of my one thing from today, but more so, you know, overall for the period of OTAs and minicamp.
Well, and did you notice? I think offensively they were just so disconnected last year, trying to get Dwayne up and running. You have a running back that's a receiver that's a rookie. All these new parts, new coordinator that had certainly never entered a camp as the coordinator. The offense, even though they got outperformed by far by the defense, they seem so much more cohesive.
That speaks to my one thing. And you pointed it out on maybe Tuesday or Wednesday, JP. I think we were talking about Scott Turner, just how he seems a little more sure of himself. So I asked Ron if he'd seen any differences in his OC, and he told me that Scott has more swagger in his walk, and that comes just from the pieces they put in place around him. And while the quarterback situation is in the eye of the beholder, I don't think it's of any debate that they've improved receiver. They have more tight end bodies than they had last year, for sure. You feel great about Logan Thomas. The running backs are pretty solid too. So I think Scott Turner and that whole group probably just feels a lot better. They don't have to rely on Isaiah Wright, Cam Sims, and Steven Sims to be their 2-3-4 and then have Dontrell Inman in there too. They have legit guys all over the place. How legit the scoring is something that will have to be figured out, but I think you can feel a lot better, and I'm glad that Scott does and Ron does too.
Well, I think it also speaks to the fact that they had an offseason program. A year ago,
totally.
There was no offseason program. They were doing all this dumb stuff through Zoom. They talked about...
veteran quarterback.
Right. We've heard them talk about the issues that they've had with Zoom. You guys have heard on this podcast the issues that we have with Zoom.
Yeah, it sucks.
Zoom is a great product, but it's not perfect, and certainly not to have team meetings and share video and all that stuff. Meanwhile, JB is just father ducking Zoom left
Listen,
and right.
It's not Zoom's fault. It's a good product, but I'm so done with Zoom, okay?
That's why we're doing this wonderful podcast in Pete's beautiful apartment. Well,
hold on. We hadn't given away the location yet, dude.
A-hole.
Well, now we have.
All right. Well, on that note, we're going to go to Gibson because there's a lot of bits to do on the back end.
Yeah.
Are we good here?
Yeah.
All right. We are going to our Antonio Gibson interview now, and then everyone is welcome to join us after. All right, always a pleasure to get to talk to Washington football team running back Antonio Gibson. Antonio, things are very different now than they were a year ago. You had just been drafted by the organization as a receiver. You were working on converting to running back. There was no offseason. You guys were all at home, quarantined, the whole world was. Whereas this year, you're getting all the first team looks. You're the first team running back. That brings opportunity, and it also might bring pressure. How do you feel about where you are with this organization now?
I wouldn't say pressure. You know what I'm saying? Just catching up from last year, I feel like that's what OTAs is, catching the young guys up. This is a time we didn't have last year. So, you know, I feel like it's very helpful just to get a good start, getting the rhythm for things again, going into training camp. So, you know, I'm enjoying this period because I didn't have this last year. So it's actually helping me out a lot.
I bet. And how do you feel about this offense now in your second year? I mean, you broke out as a rookie, and you've told me before, early on in the year, you were still learning the position. You dealt with the injury late in the year. How excited are you for the 2021 season?
Man, I'm super excited. Like you said, towards the end of the year, I feel like when I started to get a hold of things, that's when the injury came along, and it slowed me down a little bit. And, you know, this year we picked up a lot of new guys, and they can play. They're showing it out there on the field, you know, today and in these past weeks on the offensive side and the defensive side. And we got a lot of weapons, man, I feel like. You know, I feel like we got a lot of deep threats, and that's not going to do nothing but open it up for me and, you know, for the offense and a whole. So, you know, I feel like we're going to be something to deal with, and, you know, everybody eat. So I'm super excited.
That's great to hear. Is the toe injury lingering at all? How are you feeling?
It's fine. Like I said, when I'm out there, I'm running, I'm making my cuts, jumping, whatever I need to do. Of course, it still gets sore, but like I said, every day I'm still out there running, so it's not a problem on the field. It's just something I'm gonna have to, you know, take care of. So, other than that, I'm completely fine.
How is it with expectations? I have national fantasy reporters texting me all the time. What do you think about Antonio Gibson this year? Could he really break out? Could he get in the end zone more? All of these things. Ron Rivera called you a scoring machine. I don't know if you ever heard that, but that's a pretty cool line from your head coach. How is it going into a season where you know people are expecting a lot out of you?
I mean, that's just what I expect from myself. So it's not, you know, it's not a lot of pressure handed from somebody else. Last year, I felt like I was cut short of what I wanted to reach. I was cut a lot of short of what I wanted to reach. So I got big expectations of myself this year. So, you know, it's no more pressure on somebody else than I am on myself. So, you know, this, like I said, this year is going to be exciting. I feel like if I can stay healthy, it's going to be something special. You know, this year I got a feel for running back. You know, I know exactly what I'm doing, you know what I'm saying, with the linemen, the reads and all this. So, you know, just getting into the flow of things of like action playing running back. I'm really excited about that.
Absolutely. You've got a nice beard game working there. What is it like, though? At best, you've got the second best beard on the team now that Ryan Fitzpatrick has joined.
Not at all. We're going to stop that shirt right there, and I'm going to talk about myself. This right here needs some help. So anybody out there that got some beard oil or anything, please help me.
Why haven't you asked Fitzpatrick? That guy dominates the beard game.
Yeah, I don't know what he got going. I ain't getting that. I know that for sure. So.
Did you see he had a cicada stuck in his beard?
I don't even mess with those. I don't know how he did that.
All right. What about the quarterback, Ryan Fitzpatrick, and the leader? What's it like having him on this team now?
He's a great guy. His character is just, you know, very friendly, very talkative, can talk to anybody. And, you know, on the field, of course, he's still learning, you know what I'm saying, the offense as well. So, but if he knows it, he lets you know. He's so calm, like he's so calm. You know, it looks like he's never pressured. He's just so relaxed. You know what I'm saying? He show you, you should definitely have fun in the game because it looks like he's always having fun on and off the field. So, you know, I'm loving it.
You think he's ready to run this offense at a high level?
Of course, you know what I'm saying? He's been there, done that. He's a vet. But you know what I'm saying? I feel like those guys got to compete. He's not the only one, you know, out there. You know, you got Taylor. You got Kyle right behind him. And, they all make plays. I'm just loving to see it, and I can't wait to see him compete.
I did want to ask you a more serious question. So it's going on across the NFL where teams and coaches are encouraging their guys to get vaccinated, but everybody has to make their own kind of decisions in this process. How did you react to the team bringing in the expert just to talk you through the vaccination process?
I feel like just trying to give us more insight. Of course, if you get it, you know, people think it'll help out the team on how we run things. But at the same time, you know, people got families, people got, you know, their own thoughts about it. So, you know what I'm saying? That's a personal decision. You know, whatever they decide, you got to deal with it. So it's up to the guys, you know what I'm saying?
Have you made a decision one way or the other?
I have recently. I made my decision. At first, you know, I wasn't for it. But, you know, I got a daughter to think about. I'm around a lot of people. I'm up here, so I did it for her.
Good for you. Did you get both? The second one hurts, man.
I haven't got the second yet.
The second one knocked me out for about 24 hours, but I was fine after that. There was one other thing I wanted to ask you about that I noticed when you were on the field the past couple of days at minicamp, the tattoos on the back of your legs. Can you explain those to us a little bit?
On the back of my leg?
Yeah.
Oh, that was the newest one. I got the Boondocks, Huey and Riley.
Okay, from the comic book strip?
Uh-huh.
All right. What made you want to do that?
That was a cartoon I watched a lot. When I was young, I was just watching it. But as you got older, it talked about a lot of situations, real life situations. And of course, they played with it and over exaggerated a little bit. But at the same time, you could learn a lot from it.
Gotcha. So the next month here, you have to yourself, maybe it's even closer to 6 weeks. How are you going to spend that time?
I'm going to get some work here. I got some goals I'm trying to reach before camp. And at the same time, I want to spend time with my family. So I'm going to get back to Georgia probably every other weekend or every weekend that I can.
What are the goals you're trying to reach? Are they working out or reading? What are the goals?
I just personal goals I got in mind for before camp. I'll let y'all know if I reach it.
All right, let me know. You can text me. How old's your little girl?
She's about 23. I know there's like 23, 24 days now.
Wow, yeah. You're not sleeping at all, are you?
She's not up here right now, so that's why I'm taking the trips back to Georgia. So gotcha. My time.
I got two little girls, man. It's the best, but that. There's not a lot of sleep that first year, man. So prepare.
Yeah, I say when I go back, it's not. I wouldn't say I'm realizing like I can't get a little sleep because when she's crying, she don't want me. She want the mom. So I get a little bit of sleep, but when you hear the cry, you always wake up.
Well, and here's a little secret. You can play this however you want. I don't know if her mother is nursing or not, but you really can't help in that situation.
Yeah, it kind of sucks, but I'm like,
You got to pretend to want to help. And then it's like, oh, no, you go back to sleep. Like, okay, sweetheart. And then boom, you're back to bed. That's a veteran tip right there. So July 27th, hit the ground running in Richmond. What are your goals then?
To build on from last year, as a team, that's the time where we start bonding, you know, we got on pads, just to get in the rhythm of things, start connecting more offense, you know, and I feel like we can do that. The defense, their energy is always there. I feel like we can use a little bit more energy on offense and, we get in there, but, that'd be the time to build on that. You know what I'm saying? Going into the season.
All right. And last thing for me, just so you know, it's a very prestigious award. I have picked you as my 2021 preseason offensive MVP for the Washington football team. So this award comes with no trophy or financial recognition. I just want you to know it.
I got you.
AG, thank you very much for the time, man. I hope you enjoy the next couple weeks here and get to see your little girl, and we'll see you in Richmond.
All right. Thank you.
All right. So Mitch blew the reveal. But at long last, we've done podcasts at Mitch's apartment, at my house, at a million football stadiums.
Cars. Parking lots.
Parks. Parks, various.
Bars.
Bars.
Car dealerships.
Airports.
Sure.
We've done hotel podcasts rooms. Pretty much everywhere. And it was finally time to come to Pete's apartment. You have a very nice apartment. Very grown up.
Thank you.
It is a very adult. It's more adult than I expected.
Very clean.
Yeah.
No. Very, Kim, very clean.
Kim gets the credit for all that, but it's very nice of JP and Mitch to drive down to Capitol Hill. Mitch had a bit of a hike. JP was coming from the radio, so it was a little more convenient, but just really nice to welcome you guys in and show you off my abode a little bit. And it just meant a lot for you
show
to make
you
the
off?
Trip. Show off my abode to you. Yeah.
Dude,
I'm so flustered. I'm so excited. Just one so far, but I'm overwhelmed with joy.
I'm glad to be here. It's very nice. It'd be fun to, like, this little pub area we're in is dope. Like, it'd be fun to lock in for a game night down here or something. We have to plan that. Maybe we could invite others.
Yeah, there's plenty of bars up and down Pennsylvania Avenue we could go to afterward. There's a lot going on. And thank you to the guy who left the pub area so we could record this podcast.
I kind of chased him out, but he was polite.
Yeah, he was nice polite. About it. We said, hey, we're going to record if that's okay. And 2 minutes later, he packed up and left. So I
he gave us the Wi-Fi password,
yeah.
Too, so we're good.
So this has been really fun, and JP met my cat.
I met the cat.
We all met your cat.
Yeah, Mitch.
I think
the cat
could tell that I'm advocating to throw it off the balcony.
Yeah, she was able to pick up on it quickly. She gave you a quick sniff and lick, and then dipped on out of there.
We saw the automatic cat feeder.
How's it going with the cat?
It's the same as always. It's pretty awful. If she wakes us up only once in a night, it's a victory. Anything more than that is just standard and sad.
you're just resigned to this is how life is.
Yeah. And but the big news, kind of, is that I'm going to be alone the next two nights. First time that it's a bachelor-type vibe in the apartment.
So what are your plans?
So Mitch and I are hopefully playing golf tomorrow, but the weather looks shady. And if that doesn't happen, I'm going to go to MGM for morning blackjack.
Just sober?
Sober breakfast blackjack. I think it sounds so fun.
Have you
limits
ever been
will probably
to a
be low.
Casino at 9 a.m.?
In the day shift?
Not the back end of a, midnight
no,
run?
No. And I'm sure it's pretty different, but I'm craving it for some reason. I want to try it.
I want to take Pete.
And then Friday I'm going out with the boys in D.C.
I want to take Pete to a...
I'm going out in D.C. Saturday night. You guys ready for that?
Oh, boy.
My boy Jed's 40th birthday.
It's Jed's 40th?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That could be a train wreck. You guys are welcome to join.
I am thinking I'm going to. I want to be there for that.
Christ. I mean, when's the last time I went out?
Yeah.
Lauren's not coming, like...
It's going to be 10 o'clock and JB's going to be ready for an Uber.
Oh, home. I'm just going to ripcord it. I'm going to...
He's going to Irish goodbye, everybody.
What are the predictions? That I, like, go and rage all night and it's awesome, or I get there at 9, leave at 10:15, don't say goodbye to anybody?
I met the owner of Harp and Fiddle today, which was...
Steve?
Steve.
Yeah.
I
Steve's my dude.
He closed Harp and Fiddle, which is a shame.
You just ignored his question, so I'm going to answer it. I think with Jed and whatever crew you have, you're going to feel liberated not having any... tether to your family. I think you're going to stay out late. You're going to love being out and about in D.C. in normal times again. I got you staying out late and raging.
All right. What's your vote?
Because Jed influence is real.
I got ripcord by midnight at the latest.
Midnight?
Midnight counts as raging.
Anything after 11, I think, is big.
Fine. I'll give the ripcord by 11 then.
Okay. You can come stay the night if you need a spot to crash.
Maybe I will.
Yeah. Kim and I will be Michiganing.
If Kim was not back, I'd come.
Yeah, I'd have two TVs set up. We'd be betting on NBA games.
Yeah.
Also, your cat would end up over the balcony.
That's true.
Finally, time for that cat to understand
JP, why are you opening my doors?
All right, Millie, you've had a good run, but sayonara.
Put her down.
Time for you to follow, Millie.
Last thing to discuss, Pete and I both have leg zits. And I have the theory, because this happens to me during training camp, it's so hot. And I wear, like, tight, like, athletic drawers to try to contain everything for the heat. And I think you just get leg zits, dude.
Now everybody's showing their thighs. Mitch went really far up.
Mitch went very high up.
You want me to go higher?
It
I'll go
seems
higher.
Like Mitch is wearing white tighty whities.
We almost and we saw the tighty whities. The fifth appendage.
Yeah. Got boxers on.
So my thing is, I think
tell
I
everybody
have a,
what you think.
I think
that you're
I have
superhero
a spider bite because... It's got the redness of a zit, but then there's a big kind of circle around it that looks different from your normal leg zit. I mean, I'm not ashamed to admit I get zits on my body. This hurts a lot more and has a weird ring around it.
I'm telling you, leg zits come in different. They're just different.
And they also
it could
like
be an ingrown hair,
forever.
Too.
Yeah, it could be that, but I don't know.
And also, for astute listeners, I'd like to ask you a question, Peter.
Uh-huh.
Is that a bigger, is that a larger or smaller zit than you got from the pocket okra?
That's a great callback because that's exactly where my pocket okra rested in training camp when I put it in my pocket and it was fried and leaking everywhere.
What about the thing you had growing on your face for a while?
That was about a year's worth that I had. That we
you eventually had to go to like a doctor.
They
right?
biopsied were, it because it was so large and didn't go away. And I'll never forget
that was when we were still on TV.
Yeah,
too.
I'll never forget B Mitch opening up a Washington Football Team 100 show saying JP was like, "Hey, it's the three of us," and B Mitch was like, "It's the four of us." And JP's like, "What are you talking about?" He's like, "Oh, the zit under Pete's nose, that is so big." And that kind of made me want to cry. So, yeah, it's probably a leg zit. And JP, I was weird to see that you have the exact same one in the exact same spot. But
yeah, man.
We'll fight through it.
It's very weird.
That's what this
break
is for.
We spent a lot of time together.
Yeah. Mitch, keep your shorts low, please.
Well, two more things quickly. So I want to acknowledge this.
Podcast like this.
That's so,
jeez,
that's
a lot of appendage.
thank you.
This dude harasses me on the radio constantly, and I'm confident he doesn't listen to the podcast. So I'm going to give a bleep you to C Oxen OO on the podcast, because if I do it on the radio, he wins because he's just harassing me. All he does is tell me how bad the radio show is, but he listens per segment, so I know that he's just listening the
what
whole
a
time.
Jerk.
Yeah. So bleep you.
Yeah.
C Oxen OO.
It's the old Howard Stern thing. People that like you listen for X amount.
Yeah.
People that hate you listen for that much more. So bring all the haters on.
True.
Screw that guy, though.
All right. Quickly.
Whenever we get the bad reviews about all the shtick at the end of a podcast or whatever, I'm all in on that. Because that means the person listened to the entire damn podcast.
Right. I mean, we're what? An hour in? 50 minutes in?
Yeah.
Like, if you don't want to hear us talk about legs,
JP gives you warnings.
Turn this thing off.
Yeah.
Right. Last thing. how excited are we for Richmond? The next time, I mean, I'm sure we'll all be together, but the next time...
We'll be watching football together live.
It will be in Richmond, Virginia, which was taken from us last year.
Ripped from our hands.
Pete, the other day, were you there? And Pete's like, oh my God, it's going to be so much fun.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
I mean, I always love it, but I do agree that there's some fatigue that sets in, especially when you go home and then come back for like 3 extra days. Mitch might have just won a bet or something with the way he pissed them. But
picking up bets right
the fact that we just get in and out of Richmond, I think it's going to be, like Mitch said with the quarterbacks, pedal to the metal, like something we haven't seen in some time. So many good dinners, so many good football happenings, videos, everything. So much shtick and good memories. I cannot wait for Richmond.
I also think for
one thing on Richmond.
Yeah, one thing. My one thing is I think that the 4 days in Richmond is amazing for fans because when we're there for 3 weeks, folks are spread out over those 3 weeks and there are some busy days and some quiet days and, you know, in between, obviously Fan Appreciation Day is always a big deal. I think the fact that we're down there for 4 days and 4 days only, it's going to be a rush.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a ton of people. I had a dude who lives down in Louisiana DMing me about you know, what day to come. And I was like, if you're flying up from Louisiana or driving up, whatever it is, come all four days.
A few days, yeah.
I mean, come for as long as you and your son can take off for it, you guys should come. So I think that's I think it's cool. It's my guy Evan and Shane Sims. Can't wait for you guys to make it up to Richmond.
All right, Evan and Shane. I can't wait for Richmond. I think it'll be – we've been so removed from the fans, and I feel like the best thing about this podcast and, like, how I try to look at everything, and I think the three of us and Tanner was like – there used to be this like aristocratic notion of media to like separate yourself from fans. And I've never bought into that like ever in my career. And I'm so excited to just kind of like be back inundated and like walk up that sideline and like just get like a million goofy comments
crap
and take
on
pictures.
You
yeah, like I love it. Yeah. I can't wait. I've missed that. Like, you know, we were in the stadium, but fans weren't. Like, there's nobody in the parking lot, like all that stuff. I just can't wait. To kind of just be back with our people and our friends and,
well said.
And all of it.
We had our pod tailgate last year, and it was literally just the three of us.
I know.
And we were so far away from everything. It was fun but sad.
All right. We're done here. We're going to have a bunch of interviews, plenty of stuff coming up. There is no break for us. While there is a break from football, there's plenty more of us coming next week. Hope you enjoyed mini camp. If you made it this far, I owe you a beer. Question for the room.
Yeah.
Do men have five appendages?
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees? Check. Loaner cars and free car washes? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Kia of Alexandria. Let's ride together.